I am convinced, the longer I study and the longer I read, that either one of two things has happened. That either a great deal of the revelation with regard to things like the high place and the groves and the pillars and all that other stuff has never been done before except with the disciples, I'm sure. Or else, if it has been done before, all of the writings have been lost. I mean, there's no thing written about what we're doing anywhere in history that I can find. And so we are literally forging ground that for the most of the part, most of the world doesn't even have any concept, even exists. And there are spiritual territories that are and vistas that have been opened to us that are unbelievable. The idea that we have our permanent residence now in the New Jerusalem is a mind-blowing concept. The idea that God, that through our obedience, when we see that time is finished, time will be finished. Most of you don't believe that, but that's all right. But it's the same position that, I mean, but my point is that we don't have to worry about the body of Christ being bankrupt in terms of revelation. It's not. It has exactly what it's needed for what particular part of the body that exists.
Yeah.
And it's not up to us to say, you should see this or you shouldn't see this. We believe, therefore we speak. Whether anybody hears it or not is immaterial. There isn't a need for... The only commonality of revelation is, know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. But anyway, I want you to visualize with me in a minute that on this high place, just a few minutes ago, or a few hours ago now, Christ died on the cross. He celebrated Passover with his disciples yesterday evening. And they were awake all night. And Jesus was arrested about, who knows, 4 or 5 in the morning, sometime last night. And he was scourged and all the things that we've read about. And he was taken and finally crucified, probably about, what, noon? I've forgotten. And then he died. God died. And he was buried just a few minutes ago. He was buried just before sunset because they couldn't, he had to be buried before the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was considered a Sabbath. There was another feast tonight of sorts. And all of the disciples and all of the people that were intimate with him, every single one of them denied him. Peter denied him 3 times before sunrise this morning. The rest of the disciples denied him during the course of the day, one by one. So that no man stood with him. And now he's beginning in death. He's buried in this tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, who is probably his uncle, by the way. And they rolled a stone because the Jews were afraid that the disciples would steal the body. And he's now in the grave. He's been anointed with the oils. He's wrapped in a linen cloth. He's in the grave. And the disciples totally and completely wiped out. Not one of them believe. He's going to be in the grave part of this day. Then the new day begins at sundown tonight. All of this day. and then part of the next day. He was resurrected, not at dawn, he was resurrected right after sunset on the third day. So he was in the grave a portion of 3 days. It had to be that way, so he'd be resurrected on the beginning of the Feast of First Fruits, which is, we think of that in the morning, but it's not, it's in the evening. But what did he do? What happened to Christ now? He's dead by any of our understandings. He's going to be 3 days or portions of 3 days in the grave. From any disciple, from any flesh's standpoint, his life and work and miracles and death and promises and the promises of God are just a bunch of pure horseshit. Now, to those disciples, they feel totally and completely betrayed. Do you understand a sense of what betrayal means? Some of you have felt betrayed in many different ways. Most of you haven't felt really betrayed since you were a little kid.
Wow. That's something.
But every one of the disciples felt betrayed to the ultimate. Now, I could go down the list and we could go through stories about each one of the disciples because we know something about their personality from the scriptures and from other writings. But now, for today, for the next 24 hours and part of the next, they're in total and complete wipeout. To them, it's even, I mean, the fact that Christ was born and lived, for them now, it would have been better that they had never ever heard of him.
Forsaken all their stuff and they're following him around for 3 years.
Well, plus the fact that they've just now, you don't understand, we don't have families like the Jewish families. They've just celebrated last night a Passover, mm-hmm. which they had to reject their physical family. Now, when they did that, it wasn't just a matter of, it wasn't a light thing like, well, you go do that. And then it was they considered, in effect, they said to their families, anathema.
Some were heads of families, too.
That's right. But everything is lost. They feel more betrayed than you and I can ever even conceive of feeling because we haven't felt. We get a touch of it because some of you have felt betrayed. Some of you felt betrayed by me. But I want you to sense true betrayal.
They've been, by not celebrating Passover with their families, they've been cut off.
That's right. Now, in addition to all that, I mean, that's just the spiritual kind of familial stuff. There's all kinds of other stuff taking place. The Romans are attempting to totally wipe out any possibility of this organization because it was a threat. The Herodians have to justify it, so they're running. There's a price on these guys' head. Everybody's denying that and the Galileans were easily recognizable because they were, for the most part, fools. They were hillbillies. They were considered the worst part. It's called the Galilee of the nations. It's the place where all of the Jews mixed and intermingled, and
they're Yankees.
They're worse than Yankees.
Arkansas.
But my point to you is that the Herodians are after them, the Romans are after them, the Sanhedrin and the temple police, the doctrine police are after them. They have no families. They're afraid to gather with each other, and so you have now 11 men in total disarray, hanging out, hiding out. Probably they went to No, 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 no. No, where they went was...
Probably hung out in the dump.
They went to Magdala.
Who?
Magdala was the red light district of Jerusalem. Because there, there were, I'm sure I can feel it in my bones, that's where they went. Because there they were, there were all kinds of characters and they could blend in and
get lost in the crowd.
Get lost. But they're totally and completely betrayed. Everybody is after them.
And the reason everybody's after them has just become a joke to them because nothing happened that they thought would happen.
Right. It wasn't worth like their time.
Been led astray, led down the primrose path or something.
Because there were, during the period around this time, there were, one account said there were over 400 different people that said, that claimed to be Messiah. And most of them just got, you know, they just, after a while they let them alone, they went away. But so being, claiming to be Messiah wasn't even something that was special. They were just, nothing. Can you get a little feel?
Yeah.
Now, God has put the future of His whole purpose of time and space in the hands of these 11 men.
How did he let it get so out of control?
was he a judge of character or what?
Am I communicating to you? Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't any nice little fellowship halls and there wasn't any neat stuff. They weren't accepted anywhere. They couldn't partake of any of this following. They couldn't partake tonight of the feast of unleavened bread.
They were unclean.
They were unclean. They were anathema. Now, the irony of this is that God had placed His whole purpose of time and space and these cowering, fearful, most of them were kids. I mean, kids being less, most of them were less than 25 years old. Now I want you to look back at that time. You may not have been one of the disciples, but you've been sort of interested in Jesus' stuff. And there's parts of it that you've heard that were attractive to you and picked your interests. And so, at different times you were around and you heard, you might have heard him in the Sermon on the Mount, and you heard, saw him heal a couple people. You really got off when he kicked out the money changers, when he kicked out all the Sadducees and their people out of the temple. And he got off when he preached right and he said words that you never heard of and there was excitement in you. But now, my point to you is he doesn't meet, he hasn't met and won't meet any image that you have of God stuff. In fact, he's going to be resurrected, as we know. We've got the advantage. But I want you to feel for a moment without having that advantage of knowing that he's resurrected. But even after he's resurrected, three times he appeared to all of the disciples. Not once did they recognize him. Now, doesn't that sort of seem strange? In one case, he went with Luke and Cleophas, He walked at least some 12 miles with him. They walked with him. And talked with him. Didn't recognize him. How could that be? In another case, he appeared to them in the room. They didn't recognize him. Another case, he appeared to them on the sides of the sea, or the, didn't recognize him. How could that be? Either the Bible is wrong, or something else is going on. I'll bet you $100 million not one of you would have recognized him either. If he had walked with you for 3 years and talked with you and opened up to you the mystery of the scriptures, you watched him, you lived with him night and day, when he's resurrected, you would not have recognized him. You understand why? You would have not have seen him. If I opened my hands and showed you the stigmata, it would freak you out, right? If you looked at my feet and saw the stigmata, it would freak you out. Well, that's how they finally had to recognize him. Because he appeared to them in a form they didn't know. They appeared to them in three forms they didn't know. Just as he will appear to you in forms you don't know.
You know, it was like a test to see if they were looking at him in the flesh or looking at what he was really in the spirit, you know,
but he
didn't recognize.
Guess what? Christ could appear as me. You wouldn't recognize him. He could appear as you. In fact, he is. Most of you, in the secret heart of hearts, are waiting for God to reveal himself to you, then you'll believe. You're waiting, you're just like, show us the Father, it would suffice us. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You're saying, show us the Son, and it would suffice us. And I'm saying to you, if you've seen this, you've seen the Son. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. You are not going to get anything other than what you see. Because God isn't interested in a sideshow. I want you to get the understanding that everything that is needed for anything is here now.
Amen.
I mean, I don't want to sense in any of you ever again the feeling and the certainty that you would believe if Jesus appeared. You're kidding yourselves and you're wasting my time. Or you will believe when this happens. You won't believe. If you don't believe, then goodbye. We've got too many people here. I don't want you here any longer. This is all you're going to get. Go out and run the gamut of things to do in that stupid world. Go play in the fire. But until you can say, as with the song we sung tonight, have thine own way, Lord, then don't come around here anymore. And I'm not kidding, one iota. If I continue to hear complaining, if I hear a touch of complaining about your life, watch out. You're taking up space. You have no more excuses. You could hide before. You can't now. You have no more excuses for not speaking. None. Zero. There's no more. If onlys. If you don't tithe, you're not here. If you don't tithe, I will ask you to leave. You're taking up space. You're a waste of time. If a need arises in the body and you don't willingly give yourself to meet that need, I will ask you to leave because you're wasting time. If I see that someone else in the body has a need and you have the abundance, and I say to you, meet that need, and you refuse, you are gone. And if you think I'm taking on too much to myself, then you don't understand. As far as you're concerned, Christ is still in the grave. He has never been resurrected. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I detect that you're sitting there in self, I will ask you to leave. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. And if you don't think I know when you're in self, then you've got another thing coming. When you walk through that door, you either walk through that door in the fear of God or stay away. Forever, as far as I'm concerned. I am not going to play around ever again. You think I've been hard in past years? No, I've been a pussycat. Because I've let you wallow in self. I've let you roll in the dust. I've let you say, oh, poor me. No more. if you're not a cheerful giver, then leave. If you're retaining anything to minister to self and still come here, then leave. Goodbye. We are in a new beginning. I'm not yelling. But if any of you don't think I'm serious, then you don't understand. If any of you sit there and have something going on in your head and don't share it, or if any of you begin to resurrect your high place identities, watch it.
That's great.
Because I'm a pussycat compared to the one that you will meet. Does everybody understand clearly?
Well, none of us is perfect, right? It's if we, I want to see that perfection.
When you walk in that door, or when you walk in and come in contact with a member of the body, you better be walking in the fear of God, because you've just met Jesus Christ. If you don't see that, then, and my role is to make sure you see it, and if you're incapable of seeing it, there's only one solution, anathema. Remember, there are three different stages. One is for 3 days, one is for 90, or 30 days, and one is for 90 days. One's forever. Nothing I said is a terror to the Christ in you, but everything I said is a terror to the flesh. Which is your identity? Command your soul to rest and rest in that identity.
Amen.
And this is the option that's available to you every time it raises its ugly head. Page 54. First thing we talk about is the horror of great darkness. Page 54.
This is great. The horror of great darkness comes first because when you were describing what happened to the disciples before Christ was killed, that was the horror of great darkness. Time and space had ended for you.
Amen.
Understand what the point of all that I said is that Christ is resurrected.
Amen.
And he's resurrected in you. Now, you either know that or you don't know it. If you don't know it, all the preaching in the world isn't going to help. You've got to go find out.
The scripture about, if he's not resurrected, then we're the most miserable of all men. It's like it works both ways. If you find yourself miserable, then you're not believing he's been resurrected.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. There's nothing else to do except decide to believe that he's been resurrected, and then you're not miserable.
But my point, the point of the high place and the things that have taken place since we've begun the Gilmont experience is that you don't have to ever again respond to that former identity.
Right.
And it came?
Pass.
Everybody, wait. See any little books where it's in blue?
It's actually violet.
Came the pass at 11:45.
Right, it is violet.
Yours
violet.
Get
out of here.
Ours is purple.
Yours is faded.
This is really blue.
Violet.
Yours is faded. Whenever it says that, and it came to pass at midnight, then everybody reads it. What?
This is
you say
they went all night to Passover because they
Orange is what stuff.
That's fuchsia.
They argued about a purple and blue for red when this got started.
Of old, many miracles didst thou perform wondrously at night. In the earliest of the watches of this night, to Abraham, the righteous convert, didst thou grant victory in the division of the night.
Now,
wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait. Don't read it yet. Because.
We're all casting
the hell. You remember the horror of great darkness. The horror of great darkness occurred in the life of Abraham when he saw the fate of the seed. That for 400 years, the seed would be in bondage, or the 400 isn't in, but it's until the sins of the Amorite were fulfilled. And that's the bondage that your sin, your self-seeking must become exceedingly sinful. At that moment, then you experience the horror of great darkness. And it came to pass at midnight that he was released from it. Okay? Okay, now you can say it.
And it came to pass at midnight.
This is a recording.
That its judge Abimelech, the king of Gerar, in a dream of the night. Okay, now why did he judge him?
Because he took, was it Sarah or was it somebody else's
right.
wife?
Was there two or was
no,
Sarah?
He took, no, he didn't.
It was two different Abimelechs, but it was
in this case,
the same
title. Abimelech was the title. And anyway, he judged the Abimelech, both Abimelechs, one for Sarah and one for Rebekah. In the case of Rebekah, he saw them sporting. Isaac and Rebekah were sporting.
Blew their cover.
He revealed to Abimelech in the dream the fate of what would happen to him if he touched the two Abimelechs. One is Sarah, the other is Rebekah. So it came to pass at midnight that he was revealed in the dream.
And in the spirit, that's like what
the death
to people
outside the blood.
The fear of us and the dread of us is that
on every creature
being revealed.
It's Amen. Telling the world that unlike you think, the bride does not belong to you.
Amen.
It's been you're misled here.
You better keep your cotton picking paws off the bride. Or God's going to wipe you. Well, never mind. He's going to hurt you. God will hurt you. God will put a hurt on your body.
Well, there's something about the midnight. It's the end of the night and the beginning of the day. It portends what's fixing to happen.
Amen.
But that's also expansion. That's also like the false identity in us. What we've just blown away at the high place drama. That's the Abimelech that doesn't have any...
And can't touch the bride.
Can't touch the bride.
Amen. Laban, the Aramite, in the dark of the night. You remember what he got it for?
Because he was going after Jacob.
Yeah.
And God said...
You've messed with him long enough.
Not evil or good.
Right.
You just go talk to him.
Right.
Not
don't call it evil or good. And Israel fought with an angel and overcame him at night. When did he do that?
And it came.
No, wait a minute. When did Israel fight with an angel?
He wrestled.
Jacob.
He wrestled with the angel right before he was going to pass over the little river there.
Right. And they called his name Peniel, for he saw the face of God. But Jacob wrestled with the angel, which was God. And God won, and he instantly he became no longer Jacob, but now Israel. She who sees God. Okay, now.
And it came to pass at midnight.
The firstborn seed of the path of Pathros, Egypt, didst thou bruise at midnight. They did not find their wealth when they arose at night. The swift armies of Sisera, prince of Harosheth, did thou crush with stars at night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Sennacherib the blasphemer schemed to attack the chosen city, but thou didst cause his corpse to rot at night. The idle Bel. Does anybody ever read Bel and the Dragon?
No.
Okay. You ought to get it. It's fascinating. Bel and the Dragon is the book that goes in the middle of Daniel, but it got considered non-canonical many years ago. But it's part of what's called the Book of Daniel. And it goes into all the stuff that happened to Daniel during the time he was in Babylon before he got thrown, you know, all the other... Anyway, read it, Bel and the Dragon. It's in the Catholic Bible. Where are we? The idol Bel and his pedestal fell in the blackness of night. To Daniel, the beloved, was revealed the secret of the visions of the night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Belshazzar, who drank out of the sacred vessels, was killed that very night. Daniel, saved from the lion's pit, interpreted the terrors of the night. Haman, the Agagite, nurtured hate and wrote letters on a night.
And it came to pass at midnight.
Thou didst arouse thy power against him by disturbing the sleep of Ahasuerus in the night. Thou wilt tread a winepress for him who holds
vigil.
Watchman, what of the night? He will cry out like a watchman and proclaim, morning has come and also the night. I don't know what that means.
It came to pass at midnight.
Bring near the day which is neither day nor night. There, that's what we want. The day that is neither day nor night. That's the New Jerusalem. What?
One glass of water now?
What?
Thought it might make you feel better.
I wasn't sure if that was an attack or...
No. Bring near the day that is neither day nor night. Doesn't that sound neat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doesn't that sound... Isn't that worth a...
Huzzah! Huzzah!
Highest one, make known that thine is the day, also thine the night. Appoint watchmen over thy city all day and all night. Mayest thou make bright like the light of day the darkness of our night.
Midnight.
And ye shall say,
feast us Passover.
On the second Saturday.
We're going to do, I told you, we're going to do two of them tonight. Because tomorrow night, we are going to read the Song of Solomon. So shut up, Denise.
He took your wagon, didn't he? You don't want to miss tomorrow.
Put that in your pocket.
I'll be here.
The power.
Power.
What? The power of thy mighty deeds didst thou show forth wondrously in Passover. Amen. Chief of all festivals didst thou exalt the Passover. Amen. Thou didst reveal to Abraham, the Ezrahite, the events of the midnight of Passover.
And ye shall say, a feast of Passover.
So he revealed it to Abraham before it even happened.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, he did. It even says that. He says that it'll serve, and then I'll take you out to...
And then later, what happened?
And he revealed it to him in the horror of great darkness.
That's right. And then what happened was, is now the three angels come to him, and we talked about that, the three... Okay. That it's wrap at his doors during the heat of the day and the Passover. Remember what he... Knock, knock.
Who is he?
Abraham. God came in the person of the three angels and rapped on Abraham's door in the midst of Passover.
The same time of year as Passover was going to happen.
Don't get testy.
That was testy. You don't get rapped on by God. Thou didst rap at his doors during the heat of the day on the Passover. He gave bright angels a meal of matzah cakes on the Passover. He ran to the cattle as a hint of Joseph the ox, who will bring about the Passover.
Amen. Joseph was referred to as an ox by his father.
Father, in this prophecy.
At his deathbed.
Right. And it was because of Joseph that brought about the Passover, because of Joseph that the people came into Egypt to dwell in the land of Goshen.
That's why in my song, the two strong horns of the bull,
oh, yeah,
the ox,
that's good,
is talking about Joseph for those who
are. That's good.
What song?
The people of Sodom. The people of Duncan's dream were treated to God's wrath and were consumed in fire on a Passover. Lot escaped from their midst and baked matzah cakes at the end of the Passover. Egypt's lands of Moth and Nuph did thou sweep clean in passing through them on Passover.
Remember, I held up the bread, clean sweep.
And ye shall say, a feast of Passover.
Really weak.
I didn't go like that.
Too bad. We're watching you.
Responsive reading take two.
And ye shall say, a feast of Passover. Amen.
You're cute.
God
you had your cue. Comma.
What?
Are you reading ahead?
Yeah. I was thinking about God.
You sort of lost it there.
You could kind of that could kind of lead you on.
Thank you, my buddy.
God.
Comma.
The issue of first strength didst thou bruise on the watch night of Passover.
Wait a minute.
You know what that means? He killed the firstborn. Mighty one over Israel firstborn didst thou skip by the sign of the blood of Passover, that no destroyer might come into my doors on the Passover. And ye shall say, a feast of Passover. Jericho, the wall.
Well. Well, she was ready.
Jericho, the well locked city, was given up to the Israelites in the time of Passover. Midian was destroyed by a barley cake from the Omer of Passover. We haven't read that one.
I don't know about that. What's that? What is that story?
What does that say?
The Midianites when the big army, the when they had the big
in
battle?
Daniel?
No. We'll get to it. Don't worry about it. The fat folk of Pul. You keep order.
I think they came from Moth and Nuph.
Did you charge them?
The fat folk of Pul.
And Lud.
And the fat folk of Lud.
Aren't they an old country western duo?
Were burnt up in a blaze of fire on the Passover.
What are they?
And it came.
The feast of Passover.
You know some of the five cities of Sodom? A couple more that you don't hear about?
I don't know what they are.
I can't remember either.
I knew one time, but I don't remember now.
I swear I'll die. Santa Crab.
More
Doug's
dream. Would have stood by. No.
At.
Who said that?
November?
Sennacherib would have stood at Nob that very day, but there arrived at the season.
She had not had anyone.
Have you had a mud?
A moth and Nob.
Moth and Nob.
Sennacherib. Sennacherib.
Sennacherib.
Sennacherib.
Would have stood at Nob that very day, but there arrived the season of Passover. The palm of a hand wrote to destroy Belshazzar's deep-founded city on Passover. The lamp was lit, and the table was set for the doom of the desert by the sea on Passover. That's a neat line. I mean, listen to that. The lamp was lit, and the table was set for the doom of the desert by the sea on Passover. Does everybody know what that's talking about? Destruction of Babylon.
Nice phrase.
Great phrase.
The
Babylon was by the sea?
They called it the desert by the sea because of the...
Well, the desert by the sea.
Yeah.
The deal about the issue of first drink, that bruise, it was the killing of firstborn. It was also, but it was also like
the killing of
what
us.
What we did.
Amen.
You know, that was an issue.
That's man. Hadassah gathered an assembly for a 3-day fast and Passover. Haman.
Boo!
See, some of the people don't have any idea what you're doing when you say boo and Haman. Don't
sure
tell them.
Or the mystery.
Yes, the mystery.
Son of God.
What
the? He's keeping
somebody think it's in here. Haman, boo!
Haman had his lead pulled. No. That was Harry's fault. That was Harry's fault.
I don't believe it.
That was Harry's fault.
It hurt.
Blame it on Haman. You're the leader of this. Him again for blaming on Paul.
Haman.
Putting his pud low.
Oh, wait a minute.
Alone.
That one. No, no. Hey, Larry, you got to get it.
Don't
you
get me.
Right. Yeah, nice pud.
Lola's pud really
good. Yeah, Lola's pud really good. It's a good thing Carol isn't here. All right.
You
got to
say
H-A-M-A-N
again.
Wait a minute. Haman.
Yo.
That's body odor real bad.
Head of the wicked house, didst thou ruin on a 50-cubit tree on Passover?
We're talking ruin.
50 ruin. These two, in one moment, childless and widowless.
Widowhood.
Yeah. Childless and widowhood, that thou bringst to Utzith Aram on Passover. I don't know, don't ask me, I don't know. May thy hand be strong, thy right hand exalted always on the sanctification night of the festival of Passover.
And ye shall say, a feast of Passover, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Mighty in royalty, chosen of right, his legions say to him,
to thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him
supposed to
point
the last
part.
That's not in purple.
Yeah,
you gotta say it all.
No.
Distinguished in royalty, glorious of right, his faithful say to him,
to thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
In other words, it's the only one
that fits. Right. Pure in royalty, firm of right, his courtiers say to him,
to
Now, if we knew what we were doing, this is a song, and it's a Hebrew song, and you sing it in Hebrew, and it sounds really neat. It's a.
You've been here for 10 years, John. You haven't worked that one out yet.
Okay, single in royalty, mighty of right, his adepts say to him.
To thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee. To thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Ruling in royalty, feared of right, his surrounders. What's a surrounder?
Those who surround him. Somebody that he is in the midst of.
One who surrounds.
His surrounders say to him.
To thee, yea, to thee. To thee, surely to thee. To thee, truly to thee. To thee, God, kingship belongeth,
because
for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Humble in royalty, redeeming of right, his just ones say to him.
To thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Holy in royalty, merciful of right, his angels say to him.
To thee, yea, to thee, to thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Powerful in royalty, sustaining of right, his innocents say to him.
To thee, yea, to thee. To thee, surely to thee, to thee, truly to thee, to thee, God, kingship belongeth, because for him it is seemly, for him it is meet.
Okay, now I want you to just see what you've just done. You've now just confessed with God that you are his legion, his faithful, his courtiers, his adepts, his surrounders, his just ones, his angels, and his innocent. It's a trick. Now, the fourth cup wasn't really a trick.
No, you made it a trick.
I made it a trick. Okay.
Mighty is he.
Mighty is he. May he build his house soon. Now, remember. Remember the words here. Now, the word for build is Asa, and the house is Beth. And it's Asa Beth, and it means may he edify his bride or build his temple. And that what this whole process here is simply a plaintive cry to soon, speedily complete the temple or complete the bride. Amen?
Amen. That's what it's talking about when it says edify the body. It's talking because you're referring to this is in his mind. This
Amen.
Whole idea of saying these things.
Amen.
The build of the house.
Mighty is he, may he build his house soon, speedily, speedily, in our day soon.
God build, build thy house soon.
Chosen is he, great is he, distinguished is he, may he build his house soon, speedily, in our day soon.
God build thy house soon.
Glorious is he, adept is he, guiltless is he, may he build his house soon, speedily, speedily, in our day soon.
God build thy house soon.
Gracious is he, pure is he, the only one is he. Hallelujah. May he build his house soon, speedily, speedily, in our days soon.
God build thy house soon.
Powerful is he, wise is he, king is he. May he build his house soon, speedily, speedily, in our days soon.
God build thy house soon.
Fearful is he, sublime is he, strong is he. May he build his house soon, speedily, speedily, in our days soon.
God build thy house soon.
Redeemer is he, just is he, holy is he. May he build his house soon, speedily, speedily, in our days soon.
God build, build thy house soon.
Merciful is he, the Almighty is he, the Omnipotent is he. May he build his house soon, speedily, speedily in our days soon.
God build, build thy house soon.
Remember, every time we take the Afkamen, it's a miniature Passover. It reminds us that we have exited. Amen?
Amen.
That same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he blessed it, and he said, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, the bread of life from this earthen vessel. And he said, Take, eat, this is my body, and by these stripes you are healed, and by this nourishment every need is met.
I saw something earlier this evening.
This is good.
Fresh matzo.
Oh, man, there's no comparison.
Fresh matzo.
I was feeling separate and like I didn't understand, and like my ears were dull and just all these things, and I kind of woeing myself. And then as I started to take the bread, I realized that was just all believing my mind's bull.
Right.
And that's all it is. It's just seeing that. And I guess Larry and Butch were having a conversation the other day that I heard Larry tell Butch that your mind is part of your flesh and that it all has to be abandoned. And that really stuck in there.
Right.
Because it's going to pull all kinds of numbers on you.
Yeah.
And he took the cup and he gave thanks, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. He said, This is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. Every time you drink this, it's a new beginning. By this and this alone, you are made worthy to life.
Lord,
I just thought of something. You may have said this in here before. Like, when we ate the bread, I dimly remember communion when I was a child, it came around and you all either ate like a little bread pellet, but they were all rabbit pellets. They were all individual pellets, And I was thinking about the Catholic Church. They eat individual wheat and we eat of the same
loaf.
Loaf.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I mean, well, never mind. That has special significance.